Christ is risen.
Risen indeed.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Haven't they brought us into the presence of God this morning? Thank you so much. He is risen. That's why we celebrate. That's why we're here every Sunday. We worship on the first day of the week because Christ rose on the first day of the week. And so even though this particular day is set apart as a day for celebrating the resurrection of Christ, really every Sunday, that's why we gather together. We celebrate a risen Savior. Amen?
Amen.
He suffered a death on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins in our place. His body lay in the tomb for 3 days and nights. And then, as we sang, up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. And so we read in the scriptures, as recorded for us by Dr. Luke, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly 2 men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here." Let's say it together. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Over the course of 40 days, the risen Christ appeared to many of his followers, particularly multiple appearances to his disciples. And then when he, Jesus, had led them out to the vicinity of Bethlehem, a little ways from Jerusalem, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly 2 men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back. Will come back in the same way as you've seen him go into heaven." Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so we have a living Savior, a living Savior who has risen from the dead, has ascended into heaven, from there to return to earth at a time known only to the Lord. Now, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then his life is our life. If we believe in Jesus Christ, who has been resurrected from the dead in the past, who is in heaven, having ascended there in the present, and who will return to earth in the future, then his life is our life, past, present, and future. The question before us this morning is, how should his resurrection, ascension, and return guide and direct and impact our lives? How should his resurrection, ascension, and return orient our lives? The Apostle Paul answers that question in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, and that's where we're going to park this morning. So let's turn there, page 834, if you're using the church Bible. Colossians chapter 3, the first 4 verses. Paul's letter to the believers living in Colossae, a city in what we call Turkey, written to them, but for us today. Let's examine God's word together. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's God's word for us this morning. Let's pause for a moment and pray and open our hearts to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to place therein. Lord, we come before you this morning celebrating. You are our life, risen, ascended, and coming again. And so we pray, Lord, that this day we would indeed experience your word in action, moving our hearts and minds to be set upon you, doing therein what you would desire to do to form us increasingly into the likeness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Sometimes we may say of a person, music is her life, or sports is his life, or work is his life. Such people orient their lives to music. They devote their lives to sports. They dedicate their lives to work. Another way to say it is that music or sports or work or whatever it is identify their lives. How might we identify the Christian's life? Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 21, "To me to live is Christ." And then in Galatians 2:20, he testifies, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And in Colossians 3:3, Paul affirms, "Your life is now hidden with Christ in God." In fact, the life of the Christian is so tightly bound to the life of Christ that in the very next verse, Paul asserts that Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Now, what implications does this hold for us? How does Christ as our life impact our day-to-day living right now? And how does Christ as our life give us hope for the future? The Holy Spirit answers those questions for us in Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4, where we find that Christ, our life, gives us a present focus and a future glory. Let's look first of all at the present focus. Our present focus is to aim at things above. We all need focus. We don't want to live an unfocused life. What should our focus be? As we'll see in a few moments, the apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, encourages us and exhorts us and urges us to aim at the things above. Focus on things above. Think of it this way. If we are followers of Christ, then we are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we share in the death and resurrection of Christ so fully that his death is our death. And his resurrection is our resurrection. So how should our sharing in Christ's resurrection affect the attitude of our hearts? And how should our sharing in Christ's death affect the orientation of our minds? Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Let's look at the first verse. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It's a fact. If you're a believer, it's a fact. If you follow Christ, if you put your faith in Him, it's a fact. We've been raised with Christ. No doubt. His resurrection is our resurrection. And from that fact, there emerges an imperative. Set your hearts on things above. In other words, our participation with Christ in His resurrection determines and affects and impacts the orientation of our hearts. You've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Paul wrote in the Greek language, and the phrase "set your hearts on" translates a Greek word that means continually seek. And so it can really read, since then you've been raised with Christ, continually seek the things above. Now, we seek that for which our heart longs. Isn't that true? Whatever your heart longs for, whatever your heart desires, wherever you've placed the affections of your heart, that's what you seek. And so it's not too far afield to say seeking the things above means setting your heart on them. Because we seek that for which our heart longs. And when we seek the things above, we're setting our hearts on those heavenly things. Now, why should we do this? Why do we have this imperative in the Scripture to seek the things above, to set our hearts on heavenly things? Because heaven is where Christ is. He's not only risen, He has ascended into heaven. Right now, at this very moment, as we are seated here in this worship center, He is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. He's there, He's ascended, He's seated in authority at God's right hand. And so we set our hearts on things above because that's where Christ is, and we've been raised with Him, and our life is in Him. And so we set our hearts on where He is because He's our life. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Our life is in Christ. He's in heaven. Let's set our hearts there. In 2015, I took a 2-week mission trip to Ghana, but Rhonda did not go that year. And I didn't realize when I departed for Ghana how much I was going to miss her, but every day for those 2 weeks, I missed her terribly. And one evening, toward the end of the trip, I found myself standing on the balcony of my hotel in the capital city of Accra, gazing longingly, toward the east. Why? Because far away in the east, way on the other side of the Atlantic, was my bride. And my heart was longing for her. I set my heart on the one for whom my heart longed, and gazed toward where I knew her to be, longing for that day when we would be reunited once again. Do our hearts long for Christ? Do we yearn to be with Him someday? Do we fix our gaze on heaven because that's where He is and we long for Him? Do we long to be in His presence? Do we yearn to be present with our risen Savior in heaven? Then as His bride, let's set our hearts on heaven, seeking the things above, because there resides the lover of our soul. Now, our heart's seeking depends on our mind set. Verse 2 of Colossians 3, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And the Greek word translated set your minds expresses not only the thinking of the intellect, but also the moving of the will. And so it means think about heaven and then move your will toward things above. With both our intellect and our will, let us set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so what Paul is talking about here is our mindset. Our mindset is where we're setting our minds. And through the pen of the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit is giving us this command, this imperative. Be heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Where is your mindset? We all have one, we know. We all have a mindset. We often don't think about it, but we really do. We all approach life with a mindset of some kind. And our minds are set either on heavenly things or on earthly things. Sometimes we're not even thinking about where we're setting our minds. But we set it either on heavenly things or earthly things. When I was a student at a Christian college, I had a friend who kept saying to me, he said it over and over again, I want a BMW. Someday, after we graduate, I'm going into business, and I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to buy a BMW. And he was obsessing over this earthly thing. So, I mean, I'm not making this up. At least a couple of times a month, over about 3 years, he would say, I want a BMW. Someday I'm going to get a BMW. Where was his mindset? Now, there's nothing wrong with having a BMW. I'm not bashing BMWs. I have a nephew who works for BMW. But this guy's mind, my college friend, was so set on a BMW that he was consumed and obsessed with this earthly thing. So much so that I was replying to myself under my breath, if his BMW gets a scratch, his joy is going to be gone. Because his mind was set on it. Where is your mind set? Where are you parking your will? What is it that your mind most desires? What dominates the set of your mind? What values determine the decisions you make? What orientation toward life sets your schedule? What affections order your priorities? What goal impacts your volition? You see, in our mindset, we really have only two choices. We think we have all these choices as to where we're going to set our mind, but really, we have only two. Either we can live our earthly lives with our wills set on greed and sexual impurity or manipulating others into our own self-indulgence. Or we can live our earthly lives with our minds set on bringing heaven down to earth, incarnating the love and the grace and the mercy and the humility and the justice and the forgiveness of Christ in the way we treat others. Really comes down to this. The orientation of our minds determines the direction of our lives. Will we spiral downwards toward earthly self-centeredness? Or will we soar upward toward heavenly Christ-likeness? Those are the only two choices we have. Now, what motivates us to orient our hearts and our minds toward things above? Verse 3. For you died. We are so united with Christ that His death is our death. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ and God, because His life is our life. And He's with the Father. So our life is hidden with Christ in God. And when we die to earthly things, we die to earthly things. Let's not set our minds on them. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. He's with the Father. Let's set our minds on Him. Our life is hidden with Christ. And where is Christ? He's in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. Our life is with Christ, who is in heaven. We're aliens in a strange and foreign land, and we turn our minds toward home, our heavenly home, so we set our minds on things above. So our life in Christ, and Christ our life, give us this present focus. With all our heart, and with all our mind, let us aim at the things above. Since Christ's death is our death, we died to earthly things. So let's not aim our hearts and our minds on the things of the earth. Since Christ's resurrection is our resurrection, we live to heavenly things. So let's aim our hearts and minds to the things of heaven, because that's where Christ our life is. Let's seek after heavenly things with all our hearts. Let's think about heavenly things with our intellect as we move toward them with our will. Because our risen Christ is in heaven, exalted in glory, reigning as Lord, and our life is safely and securely hidden with Christ there. Have you ever thought to yourself on a long and sometimes grueling journey, I would just like to be home? You ever think that when you're away from home for a while? Maybe the work day is stretching out way too long. Maybe you're on a journey. Things aren't going well. And you think, I just want to be home. Lovers of Jesus long to be home, because that's where He is. Let's long for heaven with our hearts. Let's dwell on heaven with our thoughts. As we journey toward heaven with every volition of our will, for Christ is in heaven, and our hearts and our minds are set on Him. Let's not set our will on the things of earth, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Let's set our mind on heavenly things, treating other people with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, justice, and love. Let's not set our hearts on earth's values, the worldly pleasures that are but temporal and passing shadows of heaven's joys. But let's set our hearts on heaven's values, the things that are above, which are eternal. Because that's where Christ is. And where Christ is, there we find our life. So that's our present focus, aiming at things above. But there's also a future glory. And our future glory is that we will appear with Christ when he appears. Colossians 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is your life, appears, when he returns, when he comes again, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 3 tells us that right now our life is hidden with Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ, who is in heaven. So in Christ, we are citizens of heaven, but in a hidden way. Think of it. We don't look any different than people who are citizens of this world. We don't glow with some ethereal, heavenly glow that's surrounding us. If you go to the mall and watch people walk around in the mall, you won't be able to tell simply from appearances who has life in Christ and who does not. So at the present time, our life is hidden with Christ. We are, in a way, incognito. And as a hidden treasure is secure, so Christ keeps us safe and secure, hidden in him. And as Christ is hidden away from the earth right now, up in heaven where people on earth don't see him, so our life is hidden with him in heaven. And so by all appearances, we don't look any different than those who don't know him. But when Christ comes again, he will be revealed to all who are on the earth. And since followers of Christ will appear with Christ when he returns, our heavenly citizenship will be revealed to all who are on the earth. People will see that we're citizens of heaven. People will see that we belong to Christ. People will see that we share in the life of Christ. And so our life in Christ, which now is hidden, will be revealed. And that's our future glory when Christ, who is our life, comes again. So now, let us set our hearts and our minds on the risen Christ, now exalted in heaven, at the right hand of God, soon to be revealed on earth in glory when he comes again. How excellent is Christ, now exalted in heaven, in whom our life is hidden. How excellent is Christ, soon coming in glory, who is our life. So really, we're talking about our life in Christ. Past, present, and future. In the past, we've died with Christ and we've been raised with Christ. In the present, our life is hidden with Christ. In the future, we will appear with Christ and be revealed as his. And so Christ is our life. Past, present, and future. So in the present, let's aim our hearts and our minds at things of heaven, because that's where Christ, who is our life, is. And as we look forward to his future return, we'll appear with him in glory. Now, there is a saying that goes something like this. Some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Maybe you've heard that a time or millions of times. Maybe you've said that yourself. In fact, maybe, just maybe, you've been thinking it during this message. Some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But in reality, as is so often the case with our cultural sayings, the opposite is true. Think of it this way. Who saves more money? The person who considers retirement or the person who ignores it? Who does better on a test? The student who thinks of the teacher's expectations, or the student who doesn't? Who changes the world? The person who thinks that this earthly life has eternal significance, Or the person who thinks, you only go around once, so I'll grab all the gusto I can for myself. Which one changes the world? If we think that we are mere collocations of atoms destined only for the ground or the urn, then we'll think our lives don't matter for much. And they won't. But if we are confident that we are eternal creatures whose earthly choices set eternal destiny, then we will be heavenly minded and heavenly hearted. Heaven is as important to this life as graduation is to school. Heaven, there and then, makes everything matter here and now. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. So let us aim at heaven. Let us set our hearts and our minds on things above, as we anticipate the return of our risen Christ. And then, in the resurrection power of Christ, let's go out to change the world. Amen. Let's everyone bow our heads and close our eyes. There may be some here who have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've heard all throughout this hour together that He died for our sins, that we might be forgiven. And He rose again, that we might have forgiveness. And that by His death and resurrection, we can have life in Christ, eternal life. Here, now, and there forever. If we put our faith in Him, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God that no one should boast. But you've never received this gift of God. You've never received Christ. You've been too busy with earthly things that in and of themselves are of little significance. And you want your life to count. You want to truly live. You want your life to have a significance that will outlast your time on this earth. You want your life to have an eternal significance. And that means putting your faith in Christ here and now, that you might be together with Him forever. If that describes you and you've never put your faith in Christ, I'd like you just to raise your hand just very quickly upward and then put it down. If you'd like to put your faith in Christ right here, right now, raise your hand and then slip it downward. I see that hand. Thank you. Let me put that down. Thank you. Any others? That one? Yes. I see the other hand. Any others? A couple of people wanting to put their faith in Christ this morning. Any others? Holy Spirit is moving. He's prompting hearts. Yes, there's one more. Any others? Spirit is tugging at your heart, telling you to come to Jesus. Any others? For those who did raise your hands, I'd like to lead you quietly in a simple prayer by which you can put your faith in Christ. You can pray this along with me in the privacy of your heart right now. Lord Jesus Christ, I confessed that I am a sinner, that I have sinned in my thinking and in my speaking and in my acting. And I thank you that you died on the cross to pay for my sins and my place. And I thank you that you rose again, that I might have life forever in you. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon me, the sinner. Please forgive my sins and give me your free gift of eternal life. For I put my faith and my trust in you. Help me to set my heart and my mind on you and to live for you. In your name, amen. Praise the Lord. There are others here, every head bowed and eye closed. There are others here. You've known Christ for a long time, but you've allowed the things of this earth to consume your mind and your heart. You've been setting your heart on earthly things, which are soon passing away. You've given little thought day after day to eternal things. You just got to have that BMW or whatever it is. And you've been loving the things of this world more than the things of heaven. Here's an opportunity to flip that. To set your hearts and your minds on things above. Because you know deep in your heart that it is those who are heavenly minded who do the most earthly good. I'll give you a moment just to pray silently on your own in the privacy of your heart about this before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As I close in prayer, I'd invite our worship team to come forward and lead us in one more song. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that as we put our faith and our trust in you, our life is in you. Thank you for this life that is in you. That life which you obtained for us by your resurrection from the dead. That life that we have right now in the present, hidden with you before God. That life that we shall have in the future when you come again. Our life is in you, Lord. You are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And you are the Lamb by the throne of God. Worthy to open the seals and unroll the scroll that determines our human destiny. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus Christ, for our hearts and our minds to be set upon you. Amen.